And welcome into the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. We got a lot to get to on the program here today. Caroline Fenton joining the program at 7 o'clock. We'll get her thoughts on the Super Bowl and some offseason moves ahead for the Tennessee Titans. Predators General Manager David Poyle scheduled to join us at 8:30 after tough one last night for the Nashville Predators. No two ways about it. We're going to get in a lot into that. This hour, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
Hanging in there. Try to do a sports show today.
Yep. Michelle, good morning. How are you?
Morning, guys. Let's have a good day.
Let's have a good day. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. The Nashville Predators fall 4-2 last night at the hands of the Arizona Coyotes. And we talked about it heading into the day yesterday, Joe. This is a game that, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of Philip Forsberg being out of the lineup, you needed to win this game if you were the Nashville Predators. You're in a playoff race. You're at home. They are a team that is one of the worst teams in the Western Conference. And the Predators could not get it done last night. They fall 4-2 at the hands of Arizona. And I guess I had seen this, I guess, a week ago, that Arizona hadn't won a road game in forever. And then after the game last night, I saw the piece that John Glennon put together at NHL.com. That was the first time that the Arizona Coyotes have won a game on the road since November 23rd. It's February the 13th yesterday. It's been almost 3 months since they've won a game on the road, and the Predators allowed them to do that last night. 0-13-5 during that stretch away from home, and the Coyotes come into Bridgestone Arena last night and they take down the Predators 4-2. Look, I mean, we could sit here and talk about how the Predators played their backup goalie and how they got some decent looks and 31 shots on goal and outshot them 31-19 and all that jazz. You lost 4-2 to the freaking Arizona Coyotes when you're in the middle of a playoff race and now you've dropped 2 of 3 coming off the All-Star break. That's a pretty horrendous loss last night from the Preds.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's that's the type of game you lose, and it's hard to you know, it's hard to imagine this team making a push. There's enough time left, but I mean, you just, you know, these are the games you can't squander. You got the best team in the league coming in. I guess, you know, you beat Boston in a couple of days and it's you make up for it, but I mean, the math says you lose a game like this and you're really going to be up against it.
Well, and you factor in the rest of the standings right now. I mean, look, Calgary lost in overtime last night. Minnesota lost in a shootout to Florida, and L.A. won. So L.A. moves up 2 points. Minnesota and Calgary both get a point last night. Colorado didn't play. I think they're playing maybe tonight. They're playing tonight against Tampa. So Colorado's in action tonight. But that's an opportunity where 2 points are right there for you on the table. And you've got a team in Arizona that's not any good. We talked about it last week. I mean, the schedule coming up from the Predators outside of Thursday when they take on Boston. You got Florida, who's not a playoff team right now, a big one against Minnesota. And then it's Vancouver, San Jose, Arizona again. I mean, these are not good teams that you've got coming up on the schedule. You can't afford to drop those. And the Predators go out last night. And once again, we're talking about a game where they muster up 2 goals. I mean, it's a broken record offensively with this team at this point.
Yeah, I thought, you know, I mean, there was, I think this, in the second period, there was a power play that I thought, you know, looked pretty good. And, you know, didn't score on it. But, I mean, that's got to be a big part of this. Obviously, you don't have Forsberg, so you keep that in mind. I thought Tomasino looked okay. Well, he looked like a guy who could help this team. He had a really good shot. Actually, I think that might have been on the power play. But, you know, like I thought he looked decent, looked like kind of like Tomasino from last year, you know, in one game. But, yeah, just mustering offense, you know, manufacturing enough chances, enough, like really quality chances, and then finishing. It's not doing it.
Well, and Yossi scores last night. Colton Sisson scores in the game without Forsberg. I mean, you had to mix and match the lines around a little bit. I mean, Tomasino played with Johansson last night for the most part, 5-on-5. What's that going to look like? How close is Forsberg coming back? We talked about it yesterday, your day-to-day. Now you got a couple of days off until Boston comes in here on Thursday. and you're up against it right now. I mean, there's no two ways about it. And I looked at the math this morning, back on MoneyPuck.com. They're back down to a 17% chance to make the playoffs. You clawed your way back up into the mid to high 30s. I think on Saturday was where you were after you won that game. So, I mean, it just keeps fluctuating back and forth. But here we are again. I mean, at some point, David Poile is going to join us later today, and he's talked about how, you know, the players are basically going to make the decision in terms of what he does at the trade deadline. And after the All-Star break, you had an absolute stinker against Vegas. You had a game where I guess you get credit for clawing one out against Philadelphia. And then last night you lay an egg and lose to the Arizona Coyotes at home. I mean, if the players are what is deciding this moving forward, the decision to me is pretty darn clear at this point. Like, you're going to need to sell coming up at the deadline, I think.
Yeah, well, but – I mean, I doubt Poile thinks that.
I doubt he does.
Until the very, very.
If he doesn't think that, it's time to reevaluate what we're doing here. I mean, at some point, we've got to quit fanning the flames of insanity here and thinking that this team is going to do anything. I mean, it's just, we're at 51 games, a sample size at this point, and they are what they are. They're not a good team. I mean, it's pretty clear. We could sit here and rehash the reasons that we've gone through 1,000 times on this show as to why the results are what they are. But, I mean, we're 51 games in, albeit I realize they started their backup goalie last night. For the most part, they've gotten elite goaltending this year, and they're stuck in the mud. They're 25-20-6. You're 5 points out of a playoff spot right now. You lost to one of the worst teams in the league last night. I mean, I don't really know what more you need to see with this team. They're not good. They're not a good team.
Yeah. Well, I certainly cannot argue. I can't argue with you overall, and it's very hard to argue against that after that performance. But, you know, David Poile, I can just go from his side. He'll say,
I know.
Well, last week we won 3 in a row, and did you see how we played? Look at this guy, this guy, this guy. Look at their track record. It's in there, you know. I mean, certainly, I've thought this before any of this, like before last night or anything, like the idea of like any kind of significant buy is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I would, you know, standing pat, you know, hoping that, you know, or a minor deal here or there, you know, that's fine to me. I guess I don't necessarily feel like they have to just go, like, you got to just unload someone key and make it so you have no chance to make the postseason. But certainly if it's an either or, it would, I mean, to me, sell is definitely the smarter way.
Well, it is a fair question of, all right, if you're selling, who's somebody else buying? You know, yeah. Who's right. Who are people shopping for on your team?
You don't
that
really
you're
willing
have, to part with.
Yeah, you don't really have a rent a player situation because everybody's locked up to long term deals. I mean, who would be the, you know, who would be the best, unless someone really liked, like, Granlund, I suppose?
I mean, you could. He's a $5 million cap hit. He's got a couple years left. But I don't know. I mean, that's – the options to me of that need to be open if you're David Poile. And, you know, there's only so many things that if you're the Predators players, like, you've got 51 game sample size right now. And – you just keep taking one step forward, two steps back. That's what it's been all year. One step forward, two steps back. And you're still in it. You still got a chance. Like you said, I guess if you come out Thursday and you take down Boston at home, then this conversation, I guess, changes after Arizona. But like,
well, it really stays the same.
But, yeah. It does. Like, if they beat Boston Thursday, the immediate reaction is, man, all right, that's a great win, which it would be, and that's a heck of a response after a loss to Arizona. But how many times have we talked about response and how many times that's been necessary this year? It's just – it's the same old thing with this team. That's what – it feels like every conversation we have about the Predators, just it just devolves back to the same old thing. And that's, I think, a microcosm of the problem of where they're at right now.
Yeah. Now they just – they can't build momentum. They can't really – sustain anything. But then they also, don't sustain bad play enough to make it clear either. You know, you hang around on the fringe, but you know, it's look. I mean, this team was totally unlike last year's team. This team did have expectations. Last year's team, as they pointed out many, many times late in the season, exceeded the consensus expectations. This team was picked by just about everybody to make the playoffs. Looked like it had a better roster. Which, by the way, I guess if you want to talk about a deal. I mean, Nino was only a 2-year deal.
Yep.
So there's a guy who could be of interest if you actually were in sell mode. And we'll talk to David Poyle later. I think sell mode for him is going to take almost the math telling you you have to. You know?
We're going to talk to David Poyle later, and there's a lot that we're going to get into with him. Like, he's not going to broach the subject of selling today.
Right. Sure.
Like, it's just not going to happen. So, I mean, we can ask about it, but it's not going to happen. I think we all know that. But these are the type of conversations that you bring on yourself when you lose to the Arizona Coyotes at home at Bridgestone Arena on PK Subban night. Like, I mean, the energy, from what I could tell, was good in the building. You know, obviously, PK, he comes in, he brings energy wherever he goes. But beyond that, like, it's the Arizona Coyotes. Like, you're at home, you need to go beat that team. And I recognize you did not have Philip Forsberg, but that's just a bad loss. Bad, bad loss for the Nashville Predators last night. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We're off and running. We want your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll continue the conversation on the Predators and the loss against Arizona coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
I know every game is big, but when you go against a team lower than you in the standings, disappointing that you're kind of sort of...
Yeah, every game's important this time of year, regardless of who you play.
That was John Hines after the game last night. Preds fall 4-2 at the hands of the Arizona Coyotes. Bad loss for the Nashville Predators. First road win for the Coyotes in 19 games, so that's not very good. Coyotes 18-28-8 overall. I hear what John Hines is saying there. I agree. Every game this time of year is important. But, I mean, come on, man. You can't lose the Arizona Coyotes. It's such a bad loss.
Yeah, you know, it's like pro leagues. I mean, I agree. Like, everybody's good enough. Everybody's good enough the NFL to beat you. Everybody's good enough the NHL to beat you. But, yeah, there's still a huge – I mean, there's a big difference in quality in two games in a row this week, you know. So, the Preds are going to have to come up with a heck of a performance based on how Boston plays most nights to beat Boston. Based on how Arizona plays most nights, you come with your B game and you should win.
But they didn't, and that's the spot that they're in right now. Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Rob from Clarksville says, there's no excitement for me watching this team. I'm over the coach as well. I usually get into hockey mode after football season ends and just can't find the excitement this year. Andrew on the text line says, have the Preds announced or said anything about Forsberg and how long he'll be out? He looked awful after that fall. He is day-to-day. So what we talked about that yesterday. Like, I think that's, given the situation of what it looked like at the time, I think day-to-day is good news for the Predators on that front. So, look, I have no idea if he's going to be back for Boston or not. They've not given a specific timetable of when he's going to be back, but day to day, based on the way that thing looked as he was getting off the ice there, I think is good news on the Forsberg front.
Yeah, I mean, I think either Hal or CMAS on the broadcast last night mentioned protocol. So, I mean, that's which makes sense.
Yep.
So, you know, that, and you know, I guess typically a lot of times that might be like about a week if that's what it is, but. You know, it's also possible, in theory, he could be back for the next game.
You brought up the recalling of Philip Tomasino, which we've talked about all year long at this point with the Predators. Obviously, with Forsberg going down, we talked about at the end of the show yesterday, that opens up a spot. Philip Tomasino comes back up. I do wonder, And Jared was talking about this on his show a little bit yesterday. You know, they have said before, like, you know, when they bring Tomasino up, they want him to be up and be up for good. Now, this is an injury situation. I don't know if it's necessarily exactly what they had in mind when they were going to bring up Philip Tomasino. But I do wonder, and I guess his play is going to dictate this too, now that he is up, are you keeping him up? Does that depend on how well he fits into the top six right now when Forsberg comes back? Is there still a spot for him in the lineup? I mean, now we're into, all right, well, he's here. We've been trying to get him here and talking about that all year. What do you do with him now that he's here, especially when Forsberg comes back?
Yeah, and I think that's a question. I think maybe Poyle can shed some light on that one later. I mean, in my opinion, as much as you're struggling offensively, anyone who can help you, wherever they may be in the lineup, would be, I don't care what line he's on. I mean, he's a guy who can make a play, you know, and make an individual play and get you a goal. So I understand all the conversation about having his game ready, and John Hines had said some things to that effect after the game last night about, you know, like getting himself ready. All the stuff they said when they initially sent him to Milwaukee. But at this point, aren't you in a desperate situation now to the point where anyone who can possibly put the puck in the net should be playing for you?
Well, the bottom line is, to that point, I mean, they're out of time. Like, it's time to get going. Like, it's either you get going now or you're not going to get going at all. I mean, you got to – by the time the deadline rolls around, you need to have a plan as to what you're doing. And, you know, David Poyle pretty much said with us last week, I mean, it's probably going to come down to the day of the deadline, which is no – I mean, it's not really that different than any other year. The trades have already started to be made. And it's beyond just, like, this team right now because, look – I mean, David Poyle, ultimately what his opinion is really the only one that matters because he's the one making decisions as they move forward here. But, I mean, we could talk about the playoffs. Right now, I mean, look, our text line is full of why in the world would we want this team to make the playoffs? That's basically what our text line is right now in terms of I'm looking at – I mean, Steven on the text line says, I'm looking at every team above us in the standings and there's not one team that I'd be comfortable beating in a seven-game series. And I certainly understand that if you're a Predators fan and you feel that way right now. So you got to have a plan. Like, you're game 51. They're out of time when it comes to, you know, just this back and forth nature of what this season has been. So I agree with you. Like, if Forsberg comes back, obviously you know he's going to be in the top six. If there's not a spot, quote unquote, available for Tomasino in the top six, who cares? If you think that he can help you, leave him on the team and see what he can do. Because here we are yet again, Joe, and I saw a quote from John Hines last night, and he was talking about, you know, the offensive opportunities, the good looks they generated, and unfortunately the puck didn't go in, needed three or four to win tonight, and we didn't get it. Well, how often have we talked about that this year, just the offense not being there? Let's think about what they've done since they've come out of the break here. You scored – what was it, one against Vegas. You scored two the other day, including an overtime goal in Philadelphia, and then two last night against Arizona. I mean, their offense is just a major problem right now, and it has been all year.
Right, and so, you know, it's individually, it's, you know, top players are not nearly producing like they were last year. I still think, you know, the power play just has a ton to do with that. A bad power play this year after a really good one last year. Really good one. I mean, it's – I mean, I think that's the key, but, wherever in the lineup you can, I mean, let's see, what's the fourth line last night? And, you know, I don't want to get in like on the picking on Cole Smith thing. That guy just, you know, grinding and doing his job and getting himself in the league. But the fourth line last night was Cole Smith. And, obviously they reunited the herd line last night.
Yeah. They had Jankowski in there.
Yeah. So Jankowski and Cole Smith. And you know what? Like, those guys are like, those guys doing like the job that they're asked to do, and that's certainly valued. But to me, it's like, okay, if you can get, you know, Tomasino has to do the job, has to do everything you're supposed to do, but I mean, he's a talent, and this team is so toothless right now offensively, I don't know why you wouldn't ride this out and see what he can do for you, wherever he may be in the lineup.
Let's go to the text line. April in Portland on the text line says, I'm still frustrated with this team. There's a lot of booing last night in Bridgestone. The Coyotes stink. I'm not going to boo my team, but I did leave early again last night. I'm hoping they turn it around. If not, this is going to be a painful finish. This is from April in Portland on the text line. Craig on the text line says, in a league where most games have 5 or 6 goals scored and our coach wants to try to win 2-1 games, it's pitiful. Hines and Poyle both need to go. If Poyle tries to go for it at the deadline, I'll be pissed. This is from Craig on the text line. Look, we can continue to talk about the Hines and Poyle job security part of this. We've talked about that a lot. I don't really, at this point, know what else to say about it until something either happens or doesn't happen. To the point you brought up earlier, I don't see a scenario where Poyle's going for it. Number one, they don't have a whole lot of cap space. But number two, like, Poyle, regardless of what you think of him, does have, like, some level of realism to him. I don't think he's going to be like, you know what? I think this team is one guy away from a Stanley Cup. I don't think David Poyle's in that spot right now.
Yeah. Again, what's the move? You know, what can you do? Who would it be? Yeah. Again, I've kind of thought, you know, before last night and for a while, it's probably going to be a very minimal trading deadline for the Preds. That'd be my guess. Now, and I understand if things go downhill and it gets to the point where it's obvious, because the thing is, it was a terrible loss last night, so that always influences the conversation. It's still not, like, they're not toast, you know, at all. And the whole just get into the tournament, I mean, look, I have serious doubts, too, about this team in any 7-game series. But if that's your mindset, is get in the tournament and see what happens, and with this goalie, why? How couldn't this team? Well, then, you know, then that's going to be your mindset. And so until you're out, you're not going to really think about a serious sell. So I just feel like there may be a minor deal here or there. For the most part, it's going to be this team, because they're probably going to have ups and downs, you know, enough to still be on the fringe by the time we get to the deadline. That'd be my guess. And it'll just – this conversation will continue basically the same until the season ends.
It will. Now, this was, to me – like, I realize it, to your point, it's professional sports and there's no gimme, for lack of a better term. But this was your one gimme game this week, was Arizona. You got Boston on Thursday, who's been the best team in the league all year. You got a Florida team on Saturday that has been underwhelming for sure, but they've started to somewhat kick things into gear. And right now they're 1 point out of a playoff spot in the East.
They're desperate.
So they're desperate. And they're talented.
Yes.
And they got a good coach in Paul Maurice. So, again, you know, it's not an elite team, but I think they're pretty good, and they're starting to trend upward. And we had Dan Rosen on the show last week, and he talked about it. You know, Florida in the East is a team that he thinks could kind of come under the radar here and start to move up. So we'll see what happens on that front. And then you got a back-to-back Saturday-Sunday. On the second half of that's Minnesota, and that's a huge game of – significant importance as to what you're going to be and what those standings are going to look like as you move forward here. So I say all that to say, like, it's easier for me to sit here right now in the aftermath of the Arizona game and be like, man, well, you just blew your one gimme for the week and you got three better teams that you're going to have to play. I mean, the way this season has gone, the Predators will probably win 2 of the next 3 games and they'll be right back in the same spot that we've been talking about all year.
Yeah, like it'd be one way or the other would make it a lot easier on everybody, you know. But they're too good to just completely fall apart, and they have these, again, I don't know how many more meetings or, you know, conversations they can have to, you know, to try to get fired up. I mean, if there was ever a time for a meeting, you know, it'd probably be after Arizona, but you already used up the meeting. So
yeah.
But no, that's the thing. I don't think they're going to have an empty week. They'll probably look better at some point. But the thing is, when you lose that game, I mean, really, to keep a pace that you need to have, I mean, you need to get 4 of the next 6 points, which will not at all be easy.
It won't be easy. And beyond that, like, if you're going to make up ground, it's not enough just to, like, oh, well, we just lost a team we have no business losing to. Let's go see if we can beat a team that's one of the best teams in the league. I mean, you have to do that now, but just take care of business against teams that aren't very good, and then you can worry about the better teams later.
Yeah,
Especially this month.
On any given night, you just don't know with this team. And the thing is, I mean, I know that they went. You didn't have to go with Lankin in last night, but I thought he was fine.
Yeah, I mean, the goaltending is at the bottom of the list of their concerns right now. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll continue the conversation on the Predators. Got more of your thoughts to get to on the text line. We'll open up our phone line as well, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. We are streaming live here on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. Taking your thoughts on the Preds at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chip on the text line from Mount Juliet says, spot on commentary on the Preds, up and down for years, always excuses. Elite goalie play has saved them for years. Yossi and Saros could continue to a great play on another team. Is Forsberg elite? He's elite here. I'm not sure on another team. Depends on what version you get. I mean, last year, Forsberg was elite just based on the numbers, pretty much anywhere you put it. So, you know, what version right. are we talking about?
Yeah, like if you can have that or close to it every year, then I'd say certainly he's worth the contract.
Yeah.
And he's a huge part of your team. I mean, is he, you know, elite, absolute top upper crust of no, but how many teams have those guys? Depends on how you want to tier people, I guess, but not many, I would say.
Not a whole lot.
But, you know, you need, I mean, there's just a up and down the lineup this year. It's been under expectation.
Well, the thing that's weird to me too, is it never feels like all of them are going at the same time. Like, last year, how many times was it like, oh, Philip Forsberg just scored, so you can pretty much bank. Matt Duchene at some point is going to put one in the back of the net. Right. I mean, it's happened this year where they both scored in games, but beyond those two, like, how many times this year have we seen Forsberg, Yossi, Johansson, Duchene, Granlund, all those guys playing really well and at the top of their game at the same time? Like, I could probably count on one hand the amount of times we've seen that this year.
And broken record, but I feel like so much of the momentum they got last year was together on the power play, and yep. a lot of those guys, you know, and power play. I think there's so much of it sports, and so much of it is confidence, and it's like, okay, how does it? It doesn't make sense. All the exact same people, they all have the same skills. They all have worked together a ton. How would it not work? How would it work so poorly this year? But that is, it's sports, like confidence and like collective confidence is such a fleeting thing, you know? And they had it last year and they rode that momentum, and this year they just, so then at some point it gets in your head. And I'd still think like if you could guarantee upper half power play the rest of the year, they'd probably make the playoffs, because then you get momentum off that as an individual if you score on the power play. But yeah, it's like they just can't get out of that cycle. And someone on the text line said Duchene low energy. I feel like at least lately he has provided something. Not every night, but I mean, you know, look at the other day. I mean, he was their offense. So
right,
but it's just like with everybody, it's been up and down.
Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Jaden. Jaden, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. Robbie, I just want to say a special congratulations to your new opportunity with high school sports in the Mid-State. I know I'm a big fan of high school football, so I'm looking forward to that. But,
thank you.
On the Preds front, I think they might be in a little bit of trouble. Obviously, season has been a little wonky for them, not too great. I'm just wondering what David Poile thinks coming up on the trade deadline. I know we're probably nearing it here soon. I don't know the exact date, but I wonder if you'll think we'll be buyers or sellers at the trade deadline, because based off how the season has gone so far, I'm not sure what the outcome in April will be, but I'll leave it there, and I hope you all have a good one.
Thanks for the call, Jaden. We appreciate it. The deadline part of this, really beyond just March 3rd, because March 3rd's coming up. That's the trade deadline, and that's when you have to make the decisions on the here and now. But based on some comments that Poile has made with Chase a couple of weeks ago in his one-on-one interview, he had a sit-down with a Tennessean last week. There have been a few comments that he's made that make me think that there's at least part of him that's looking at this team and the way that this year has gone and is thinking, all right, you know, are we happy being where we're at right now? Like, is this the right path moving forward? I don't know what that means. I don't know what he's going to do based off that. But, you know, March 3rd, you're going to have to figure some things out. Are you going to be a buyer? Are you going to be a seller? Do you stand pat? At this point, I would say standing pat is probably the most likely option, followed by selling, followed by a buy of any significance. That would be the way I would tier it at this point. But beyond that, like moving in, let's say things stay the same, and either they miss the playoffs and they're, you know, what, 5, 6, 7 points out of a playoff spot by the time the year comes around, the year ends, or they get in and they get beaten 5 games in the first round. Like, at some point, as you're looking at the future of this team, what do you, like, what does that look like, and how do you change what you're in right now? Like, that's the real question of how they proceed from here. How do you change where you are right now? We've talked about the first round picks, and a lot of people have made, you know, they're poking at the comments that Poile made of, well, we could have 5 first round picks in Milwaukee next year. Okay. Well, they could have 5 first round picks in Milwaukee. Now, hopefully you have 4 and Tomasino's up here. That would be great. But what do you do to get out of this mess right now? Like, we've talked about Fabbro and what that could look like. I still think either one of Carrier or Fabbro are going to have to go, whether that's at the deadline or this offseason. It just doesn't make sense to keep them if you're keeping McDonough and Ekholm and Yossi and paying them all this money. Do you make a decision on Saros? Like, to me, the way that you break out of this in terms of big moves that you could make that I think people would be interested in, you could trade Saros at some point, or you approach Roman Yossi and you say, hey, man, this is the route we're going. We're going through, we're going to tear it down to some degree, and we're going younger, and we're going to try to see what we've got in these younger guys. Do you want to be a part of that? If you don't, give me a list of 10 teams, and we'll figure it out. Because there's nobody else that really other teams want. Like, everybody talks about, you know, could you get a team to take Johansson's contract? No. Like, I don't think there's any way you can get a team to take Johansson's contract. Could you get a team to take Duchesne's contract? No. Like, if you're going to do that, the time to do that was probably this past year in the offseason. Like, I don't – look, I bring that up with Yossi. I don't think they'll ever consider doing that. I'm just using that as an example to say, like, it's really hard to get out of where they're at right now. And in order to do it, like, you're going to have to make a big move like that to create money to do it.
Yeah. I think, it's a thought on Yossi, and maybe if it gets to that. But I'd be surprised. But I think the, you know, the goaltender trade scenario is, you know, I think at some point it's going to have to come up. Because, look, Duchesne, $8 million through 26. Johansson, $8 million through 25. It's just still – there's just still too much term, I think, on both those deals, given what you're getting right
nobody's
now.
Nobody's taking it.
You know, Granlund, on the text line, you got Chris says trade Nino and Granlund. Right now, what's the market for Granlund at $5 million with 2 years left on his deal? He's been a really important piece for the Preds, without question. But just like everybody else, this season has not been as good, has not been as impactful. And 2 more years at $5 million? I don't know, man. Now, Niederreiter with a year left, and he's 1 year left on a $4 million AAV. I mean, I think that you could probably get something for him. But that – I look across the board. You mentioned Fabbro. So Fabro's a restricted free agent.
Yep.
After this year. Yeah. I feel like this is probably his last year with the club. Now, you know, could you move him at the deadline and get something for him?
Maybe. It won't be very much, but
It won't be much. I mean, you know, like based on what he's done here, you know, a team that really needs depth on the blue line could, you know, get a middling pick there. It's probably worth it if you're going to move on from him anyway.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Bob from Antioch. Bob, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. I think that the Predators are going to be like this for the next 2 or 3 years. I don't see any way that they can really move forward. I think that with each year, it'll probably be a little bit more, frustrating. So I've got a question, though, and this is about the attendance and the atmosphere at Bridgestone. Do you see any sort of, I guess you call it, erosion of the, atmosphere at Bridgestone? The reason I'm saying that, years and years ago, Memorial Gym was one of the toughest places to play in the United States. And then, you know, as Vanderbilt declined, so did Memorial Magic. And I'm hearing comments from people on social media about how it doesn't seem like it's the same at Bridgestone anymore. And I was just curious about your opinion of that.
Yep, thanks for the call, Bob. I mean, look, I've been in that building since 1998. I've been going to games in there since 1998. It's always been really fun. Like, it's always been a really fun environment. I still think it's a good environment. There's no question in my mind, Joe, that it's dropped off some in the last couple of years. Now, there's a billion different reasons you can point to for that. Obviously, the COVID part of it didn't help. But the team is part of it, right? I mean, when you're not competing for a President's Trophy and you're not going through playoff runs, I mean, the fact of the matter is when that happened, the bar was raised and the expectations were raised. And I think all those things are good, but when you're not meeting those expectations, plus you factor in, I do think what we've talked about, there's a very large portion of this fan base that is very frustrated with where this team is and the direction that it's going right now. Yeah, I mean, the atmosphere has absolutely suffered, in my opinion.
Yeah, of course. I mean, look, I would challenge any atmosphere in the history of the league to be as good as what it was, like, especially in that 17 playoff run. I mean, it was astounding. It was painful to be in the building with your ears, you know? And you're never – it's going to be hard to recoup that, of course. Then you raise expectations. So, yeah, has it gone down? Yes. Is it still – on a given night, if they're in a good game against a good team this year, it's still, I think, a good atmosphere. But, of course, it's suffered.
Well, I mean, they played, I want to say, I forget which team it was. Maybe in Winnipeg a couple of weeks ago when they came in. And I saw a tweet from a Winnipeg writer that says, this was the best regular season hockey environment I've ever seen in my life. Like, you're still going to have that.
Yeah.
So, I mean – still pretty good.
All these teams have 41 home games, and there's some nights that are just kind of nights, you know?
No question. 615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion on the Predators. There's one thing I want to get to that relates to the deadline that I think is a really tough equation for David Poile as they move forward here. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. We'll have Caroline Fenton coming up at 7 o'clock. Looking forward to that conversation with her. Did you screw up Valentine's Day? By the way, happy Valentine's Day, in case you forgot.
Yeah.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah. 1025 The Game and Green Trees Company. Have your chance to make it up. Tune in this Friday to the Chase and Shell Show for your last chance to win tickets to see Adam Sandler at Bridgestone Arena, courtesy of Green Trees Company in Hendersonville. So looking forward to that. Happy Valentine's Day to everyone out there. 615-737.
Get your gifts.
Yeah, make sure you get those gifts.
Still early enough.
You can get it done, and nobody will ever be the wiser. 615-737-1025. There's one part of this discussion that I think is a very difficult needle to thread if you're David Poile as they move forward. We've talked about the contracts that they have and the guys that are, in some cases, in my opinion, unmovable, and in other cases, you don't want to move on from that take up a lot of money. Like, Forsberg takes up a lot of money. Probably don't want to trade him. Just sign him. He's got no trade clause. Roman Josi takes up a lot of money. I know you don't want to trade him. Takes up, but they're in a spot with their roster right now. That's just where they are in terms of the money that is available. And then there's also opportunity. Like, you're paying those guys a lot of money. So, obviously, you want Granlund to be in the top six. You want Forsberg to be in the top six. You want Johansson to be in the top six. But then there's the Cody Glasses of the world, the Juuso Parsonens of the world, Philip Tomasino, Luke Evangelista, which David Poile talked about on our show last week. He thinks that maybe next year he could get a shot. Like, all of those guys, to me, when you start talking about some of the younger players, and that's not even getting into the first-round picks that they've had at forward that could be a factor here in the next couple of years. Like, there's got to be some upward mobility from those guys. Like, you don't want them stuck in the AHL, and you don't want them stuck on the fourth line just because you're paying all these other guys all this money. Like, Juuso Parsonen, to me, is a guy where I watch him play this year, and I say, all right, well, I could see him next year maybe being a top six guy for you. Like, that's the trajectory of where he is right now. I said it last week. I love the speed. I love the size. I love the playmaking ability. And right now, you look around the lineup, there's not a spot for him in the top six. Like, eventually there needs to be. And that's the difficult needle to thread if you're David Poile. Beyond, like, the which direction are you going, we know that regardless of which way they go, whether that's a we're still trying to be competitive or they're eventually deciding to reset, like, the young players are going to be a part of it. Parsonen's going to be a part of it moving forward. Cody Glass is going to be a part of it moving forward. Like, how do you keep the upward mobility available for some of these younger guys like Tomasino, like Evangelista, like Parsonen, while also knowing that a lot of these other guys we're talking about can't do anything with them, they're going to be on your team?
Yeah, that's a good question. I guess I also, kind of going back to the Tomasino conversation from earlier, I mean, you also still can play them other spots in the lineup, right? I mean, at least, I mean, I know it may not be ideal, and ideally it's like, okay, you're ready for a top six, and now there's a top six spot, and here you go. But, I mean, that's happened. I mean, go back, right? So, I mean, a lot, this happens with teams. You have a young guy, and you kind of move your way up, even if you're not ideally suited for, like, a checking line.
Sure.
You know, I mean, I feel like there should at least be opportunity for them. I mean, it's a good thing that they have some of these guys who are young and promising, but it's like, yeah, how are you moving other people out of the way? It's just you are stuck with this core.
Well, or you could go the other way and say, all right, well, we are putting Parsonen in the top six, and we are putting Tomasino in the top six. And eventually, when Evangelista is ready, we want him to be in the top six, along with the Forsbergs and the Glasses and the Duchesnes of the world. So then what? You going to put Ryan Johansson on the fourth line and pay him $8 million a year? You going to put Granlund on the third line and pay him $5 million a year? Like, not playing the power play? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
It's a tough spot to be in.
I mean, ultimately, that's the coach, right? That's not the GM.
Yep.
I mean, that's how it should be, right? So, and I mean, we've seen with Hines in the past. I mean, he has scratched Duchesne and moved those guys all over the place, and so he's. But those are still short-term kind of motivational things more than anything, right? I mean, this is also where when you talk about the roster moving forward, could, along with the trades we've talked about, is another buyout a possibility of someone point? Like, what's the if you're a GM in this league, how much buying out can you tolerate?
I mean, I think Kyle Turris is still collecting a check.
He is. Well, $2 million a year.
Yeah.
That's off their cap because of him.
So you doing that again?
I don't know.
I mean, the flat cap
probably
really
not.
Hurts here. Like, it's going to be great for everybody when the cap starts to go back up more than just $1 million per year. Like, the flat cap is killing everybody. But it's part of, like, it makes contracts that are already, I think, really hard to move. Like, let's say all things are equal, and Ryan Johansson, he's still getting paid $8 million. Matt Duchesne's still getting paid $8 million. Like, those contracts are difficult to move anyway. And now with the flat cap, it makes them impossible. Like, you just can't do it. Like, I mean, unless you get really creative and you retain a ton of salary, but like, you just, you can't do it. And the cap being where it is really problematic for the rebuild. Like, we've talked about this. Like, I understand if you're a fan screaming rebuild. Believe me, I get it. It's a really difficult thing for them to be able to do based on the contracts that they have available to them.
Brian from Memphis says, woke up specifically to tell you the Preds are booty, and I totally expected last night. These dudes are not good. Once again, I repeat myself, we should have traded Forsberg, Granlund, and Ekholm last year. Saros should be traded for a King's ransom. I know I sound like one of those Facebook fans or whatever, but I can't handle this core anymore. I am done with them. I mean, I don't know where Facebook is. I mean, as far as I know, Facebook's still complaining about, like, Vernon Fiddler or something, but...
So very mad about Peter Forsberg's trade not working out.
Yeah. But no, I don't think Brian's on an island here.
I don't think so either. 615-737-1025. We'll get back into the Preds later in the show. We've got David Poile coming up at 8:30, so looking forward to that conversation with him. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Caroline Fenton. We'll get her thoughts on the Super Bowl, her thoughts on the Titans, and some offseason decisions that are yet to be made as well. All that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.